Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, we're black, we're brand ambition. I feel like that didn't have the soul that it was supposed to have, but you know, it's close enough. Hey, Manja.
I mean, we're in between seasons right now. You know, it like throws things off. I get it.
You know, I don't have the soul. I feel like that was rock salt and not Lowry's, but sometimes you need salt, regular salt.
A little bit of salt. How are things going?
They're going good. I am planning like a 40th birthday party. Well, you know what? Maybe I don't believe in dragging up businesses, so I'm going to leave it light. Never mind.
Wait, dragging up what?
No, because I'm planning a 40th birthday party, which coincidentally is the same day as your baby shower. So
damn it. So I can't go. I know. That's like a milestone. Are you going to do it up big?
Yeah, well, I'm just going to, because I feel like we're going to do like a housewarming / 40 years. So because we haven't had anyone really at the house. I mean, people have come by, but not like in official capacity, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we had some vendors, I'm trying not to be as specific because I'm like, she might listen. And it didn't go well. And it just was a really good, I'm going to say it. So we're testing out some different people for food. And one of the vendors we had, like her, their food was, you know, on the saltier side. Like, by saltier side, I mean like a 7 out of 10. Mm. And so I gave a little feedback, and it just didn't seem, I don't know if she didn't realize, but it was not really well received. And I thought, that's what tastings are for, to say. And I said it in like the most passive aggressive way as possible. Cause you know me,
know you. It took you like 5 minutes to come around to what you wanted to say just now.
Let me tell you how I said it. I was like, so there are people in my family that have diabetes, so we just want to be careful about the sugar. So I named every illness that does not exist. And then I got around to hypertension and said, so we just want to be mindful about the salt. That's how I did it, like that. Mm. So, I mean, you would think, like, I tried to keep it really light, but it wasn't well received. And it's like instantly energy like turned off. She started watching TV instead of talking. And I was like, what's happening?
Wait, did you go, is this a friend or did you go to the, went to the restaurant for tasting?
Yeah, I just went to their, whatever restaurant they were using for tasting. Mm. And I don't know, you know how sometimes she might not have even realized that her energy turned off. So she might not have, because she was really friendly and amazing in the beginning. But I get it. I don't know if she's a new business, but I know sometimes people, it's like, I'm an artist and I'm sensitive about my ish.
Listen, you're in the service industry. The customer should be right.
It was so, because so I came with a friend of mine who's similar to, like, I always say I have people in my life that are like either me or like similar to like you, Drina, who are like, well, you know what? It is what it is. I don't, you know, like, and so I brought a friend like Rihanna with me, who was, you know, very much like, I said what I said. I wasn't rude about it. And so I was so like, Rihanna was just watching me like tap dance, like, because I was so uncomfortable that she was clearly upset, and I wanted her to be happy. And I was like, and Rihanna was like, we left. She's like, Tiffany. I was like, what? She's like, what is wrong with you? I was like, I just feel really bad that she seemed to be upset. She's like, Tiffany, you could not have said it lighter. Like, you literally could not have said it. She's like, I'm looking at you like, you have family with hypertension. I was like, no.
This is your 40th birthday. You need the food to be on point.
Yes, and she said that. She's like, you were really kind. You could not have said it lighter. She was like, you know, I just, you know, some people just don't receive feedback very well. And, you know, but she's like, it was clear that she shut down. Like I said, it wasn't, she wasn't nasty, but it was very clear that she just shut down. So it had me thinking to myself, well, one, have you even heard my feedback? Are you going to come with salty food still? Or two, if I give you feedback on the day of my party, are you going to make it uncomfortable? You know, because, you know, some people don't mind. They're like, whatever, girl. I said what I said, but that's not me. And I'm like, I don't want to have to battle these emotions on like my big 40th birthday, you know? So, yeah, but it was a good lesson for like, sometimes like whenever that happens, I always think, what's the good entrepreneur lesson in this? And for me, the good lesson was that sometimes you get feedback that feels uncomfortable and you might subconsciously shut down. She probably didn't think, like I said, she wasn't nasty. So I likely, if I were to share this feedback with her, she'd probably be like, no, I didn't. So she probably didn't think that she had created a very uncomfortable environment. But it taught me to like, okay, Tiffany, this might happen where someone gives you uncomfortable feedback and you might subconsciously shut down, and to be mindful of creating energy and space where people can tell you when something is not right. So yeah, it was just really like, when I tell you it was so, it was like dead silent. I mean, you could have dropped the pin. I was like, so guess we should leave.
It so are you so definitely fun. Using her as a caterer?
No.
No? Okay. I wondered if you like.
I was like, well, maybe if she, Rihanna looked at me like, are you kidding me, Tiffany? I was like, okay, never mind. I was like, that's why I brought you. I always need my, like my, you know, my friend who is not afraid of like, you know, confrontation. To be like, no, Tiffany, so you're going to use her? So that way, I mean, I've made decisions like that where I'm like, this is an important day. And because I didn't want the person to be upset with them, even though I didn't like the service or the product, I've used it anyway. And I'm like, Tiffany, it's your big advanced age. We got to break free. Like, so like sometimes my people pleasing just takes it to the next level. So.
Well, you're smart to bring people who have the other side. I mean, it's not like yeah. you need to change. I'm sure your people-pleasing nature is why you're so successful in other ways. So it's not like you need to learn how to be a jerk. You just bring the jerks with you.
And it's not even a jerk. I just wish I was more like, you know what? I said what I said. I wasn't rude. Because if you can stand in it, because I knew I wasn't rude. But I'm like, I hate that sense of like, I don't know. I'm like, Tiffany, why are you afraid? Is she going to beat you up? Like, what is happening? And so I just wish that's something that like I'm really trying to work on, to be like a more assertive in this is what I like, this is what I said, and I'm not saying it in a rude way, but I am firm about it. Because yeah. I'm not gonna lie, if I went by myself, she probably would have had a deposit.
Yeah, that's a good resolution for your 40th your fourth decade. Own your feelings and your opinions, and don't apologize for them. Yes. You're a badass business lady.
I know. Like, and yet I was like,
how have you made it this far?
I don't know. You know, it's so crazy because you know what it is? What I've learned about myself is that when it comes to me, I'm like, ah, but let it be like someone on the team, family, friends, whatever. Like, it's a different Tiffany. So I think the reason why it's like, it's because when I'm doing things for my audience, like these are my dream catchers. Like, I'm very protective over them and their journey. And so nothing stands in the way of that. So when a bank or a brand or whoever I feel like is doing something that is not helpful and purposefully harmful, so like a different Tiffany comes out. So I think that's what it is that I've learned that if I'm working in service of others, oh, then all bets are off. But when it comes to me personally, that's where I have a hard time. And that's why, honestly, I remember like a few episodes, not a few, but probably like a year or so ago, we talked about the bully friend.
Yes.
Right. And so like I'm very conscious now because I'd hired a bully friend and she was brilliant, but she was indeed a bully friend. And I realize now that I'm really, really careful because I'm looking for a new admin and I interviewed a few women and one of them gave me bully friend vibes. I said, absolutely not. Now, meanwhile, she was brilliant. Like I could tell she was great. She would have been awesome. But I also knew that there was that little like inkling of, she's a bully friend and she's going to make, like, her personality is going to make you feel uncomfortable. You're going to be afraid to ask her things. I can't have that in my admin. So I chose someone instead that I knew that, you know, our personalities, where she was like really warm and welcoming. And that even when I was like deferential, that she didn't take advantage of that. And so I've learned that like the parts of my personality, I don't know that they'll change, but I've also learned to offset it by not surrounding myself with people that are going to put me in a position to feel bullied, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So that's, I mean, honestly, that's really, I think why I've like the business has done well is because when it comes to other people, I'm a beast. But when it comes to me, I'm like, so heard you want to fight. let's go.
That makes sense. That makes sense. I get it. But still, something to work on.
Yeah, it is definitely. Because I wanted to, and honestly, I feel like that's why I look for people like you and Drina and Rihanna, because I'm like, so teach me your ways.
Yeah. And then that's the reason my husband is the one, like, Mandy, put down the gloves. Like, it's not the moment. We were always, this is a good example. We went to see Hustlers this weekend. And it was pretty good. It was pretty good. I love J-Lo. Like, I just feel like she's so underrated. I want her to get all, she never won anything for Selena, which I think is a damn crime. Yeah. She doesn't have any Grammys. I'm just like, it's appalling that we have not, you know, given her her due. Anyway, so I'm happy that she's getting great reviews. But we saw it, and it was like a late Sunday night showing, so it wasn't a packed theater. But there were these girls who were just like yapping through the entire movie. They got up and were talking to each other. And I mean, I really desperately wanted to say something to them, like snarky, or like, you know, get them to be quiet. But then I thought, and I looked at Enrique, he knew what I was going to do. He's like, not today. We don't want to get in a fight. These girls sound like they would fight you. It's like, you're pregnant. Let's just like let it go. And I let it go. A younger Mandy may not have let it go. Because I like to poke the beast.
Yeah, that is not? So Superman. He's pretty chill until. And so, but he's not like, if we would have went, he'd be like, ooh, this food is salty. He would have just said it, and I would have looked at him like, oh. But I find that people like, I feel like people respect that. Like, you know, that it's crazy because when you dance around it, I feel like people, like, I found that when I'm my most passive is when it brings out the aggression in others more so, you know?
Yeah, it's like that. It's just a balance.
Yes. And so like, yeah, because I remember like it wasn't until like I learned to stand up for myself when I was teaching preschool in Newark. It was like my first year and I was such a punk and the parents used to treat me like trash. Like I'd be like, excuse me, Miss Ma'am, you really can't come. Shut up. I'm like, OK. And then one day I was sick of it and I told the biggest, baddest parent. I'll never forget Bashir. I was like, it was like 10 o'clock and I think we didn't take kids past like 9:30. But she was always late, like willfully late, even though she lived across the street. And I was like, and it was raining. And I remember I had like the little chain on the door. We had this big metal door and I opened it. And I was like, yeah, Bashir. So I told you that from now on, you have to be here by 9:30 or, you know, your daughter Zanaya can't come. So see you tomorrow. She's like, what? Open the door. I said, see you tomorrow. Bye, Zanaya. See you tomorrow. Miss Tiffy's going to miss you. Click. Close the door.
Oh, savage.
My heart. The other teachers looked at me like, that's how you're going to start this talk? Well, my heart was racing. I was like, oh my God, she's going to beat me up tomorrow. I'm going to die. My car is going to be torched. And the next day, because Bashir was like that parent. Like you could tell Bashir spent all her high school years boxing in the hallways.
Right. Yeah.
And so she came the next day and she came at like 9:20 early. I opened the door. I looked at her. She said, Miss Tiffany. I said, yeah. She said, you got that. You got. I was mad at first, but you know what? I'm wild, disrespectful. I did stay late. And I was like, okay. But it taught me such a valuable lesson about standing up for yourself. And to this day, it's funny because she works at City Hall and I was trying to get some permit or something. And it was, she was there. And she was like, oh, Miss Tiffany, girl, come to the front of the line. And we had a good key. And she would show me pictures of Zanaya, who is now like 16, which makes me feel extra old. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Oh, damn.
But it was just like such a good lesson in standing up for myself. And like, you know, that oftentimes it generates respect rather than whatever fearful thing I'm waiting on. But yeah, I just remember thinking, well, I guess I'll be fighting after school today. Hey, 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 BA fam. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. That's incredible. This is according to Indeed data and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 150 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Okay, it's smart. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show
will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Brown Ambition. Just go to Indeed.com/Brown Ambition right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Brown Ambition. Terms and conditions apply. You need to hire. You need Indeed.
Y'all, so it is time for one of my favorite parts of the shows. Cool, you know what? It was funny because I remember I took that picture with Usher and it looked like a wax figure because I'd gone to Atlanta to do his what was this thing called? New Journey. He has a nonprofit, which of course I'm forgetting the name of. And I went to go like teach a session because he has like an annual kind of like conference for the young people in his nonprofit. So I went and I took a picture with him, but it was so weird because in the picture he looks like a wax figure. And someone in the comments, and I just saw this like last night and it had me rolling, someone in the comments said, did you tell him that you always mess up his confession song for the question song? And I was like, I totally forgot that I do. So this is Ode to Usher. These are our questions. I don't also know the words, so I don't know what to say. When she said it, though, it had me rolling because I do keep messing up the confession song. Either way, it's time for questions, and I am excited because you guys always have amazing questions. If you'd like to submit a question, Mandy will tell you how.
Yes. Well, thank you. I sure will. You can go to brownambitionpodcast.com, hit Ask Us Anything to send us a question. Hit us up on Instagram at brownambitionpodcast. You can hit us up in our DMs there. Please be detailed but brief. Or you can email us directly at brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com. We have a bunch. We have too many questions today, so I'm going to save some for next week. But
yay!
I love some questions. A lot of credit-related questions, too. Let's take this one from our email inbox this week from listener Chanel, who says, I've used a bunch of what I've learned through this podcast to be successful during my home buying process. My question is, what's a good resource to find a credit card for new homeowners? We have a couple of things that we need to purchase, like our fridge, blinds, etc. I want to use a rewards credit card so I can reap some benefits. Help assist out.
I think, actually, Mandra, you had a really good credit card that you guys used, right?
Yeah, right. So, of course, we can recommend some credit cards, but read the fine print, read the terms and conditions on the card. Make sure they're the right card for you personally. When we were doing our renovation, we decided to sign up with the City Double Cash card because it was basically the max cash back you can get on like any purchase. And there aren't that many cards that have a flat cash back rate on anything that are higher than like 1%. So 2% was the best we could do. And the way the City Double Cash works is that it gives you 1% cash back when you make the purchase and it gives you another 1% when you pay it off. So you only get the full 2% if you're paying off the card in full. We also took advantage of a 0% intro APR offer. I forget the name of the credit card. It was a Chase card. And it was 0% for 12 months or something like that. And we used that for some larger purchases. And we just paid that off this summer, which felt great. And that allowed us to have no interest for, 12 months. The risk with those types of cards is that often they have deferred interest clauses, which means if we had left even like $1 on that credit card after that promo period ended, they could have been like, oh, you were charged interest this entire year and we're going to slap it onto your card right now. So I was adamant that we were not going to, let that happen. So that was our strategy. Did you guys use any?
We did. Honestly, looking back at it now, I wish I would have gotten that credit card, like you said. But I, oddly enough, so Superman was trying to convince me that we need to get a Home Depot card. And I was like, no, we don't. Actually, with the amount of money we spent at Home Depot, we should have got a Home Depot card. Yeah. He was right. I just didn't think we were going to need that much stuff from Home Depot. We got, just thousands of dollars we spent at Home Depot during the renovation. But I will say it wasn't like all, it wasn't all for nothing. So what I ended up using was our travel card as our go-to credit card. And we have so many trips pending because I also use my travel card for marketing spend. And I could go to Zimbabwe and stay like in the president's suite at the president's house. or as many points as we have. So it wasn't for nothing, but I, thinking about it now, because I use my travel card for marketing, I really didn't need the additional travel points. And I really wish I would have, because you told me about that card in the beginning. And honestly, I wish I would have gone and gotten it, because I would have much rather the cash back than additional. Because we have so many travel points now that, like, I'm just like, my whole family just comes to me. They're like, so I've got a trip. No, you got some points.
Well, those travel cards don't give you the same rate for like a purchase at a department store or like
exactly
on furniture as they would on travel expenses. Like the most lucrative travel cards really only give you the high cash back rate if you're paying for travel purchases. So that's why we ended up getting the Citi card, because we knew we were only going to get 1% back if we used our travel card. Home Depot card we looked at. I don't remember it having any like cashback benefits. I think it's more that it offers different like financing options, like 0% or whatever, depending on. I don't think they do. You guys could check, but I don't know that they have like a cashback card. That'd be nice though.
Yeah. So I say go with the card that Mandy suggests, because it's just, I mean, cashback, you can't ever go wrong. Cash is queen.
Cash is queen. And see if there's any, you know, I'll put a link to the Magnify Money credit card tool. There's new credit cards. Oh, I can't even keep up anymore. They're all the time. And one of the other reasons I love the Citi Double Cash card is not, it doesn't even exist anymore. They got rid of this program where they were doing, what do you call it? Now I forget. Oh, baby brain. No. A program basically where if we made a purchase with our Citi Double Cash card, and the price dropped after we made the purchase, they would actually go back and refund us.
I remember.
They got rid of that program. If you guys notice, like some of the rewards cards out there have been so lucrative, and they're starting to scale back their programs to make them, well, they're very expensive for the companies to keep up. So some of them have been scaling them back. So they're not as lucrative as they used to be, sadly. But we took hella advantage of that perk while it was there. All right, cool. Thank you, Chanel. Good luck with the home buying. And just make sure if you take out credit, have the plan to pay it back. You do not want to start your home ownership journey with a ton of credit card debt and be house poor. And it's just going to be sad. So
yeah,
take your time making, if you don't have the money to pay it off, just like take your time. You don't need the fancy blinds or the fancy couch right now. Take your time getting that stuff over the next few months if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who's next? Okay. So we got a question from Instagram user whose name is T. T says, I need some advice. I have a rental property that's increased in value. I paid $98,000 and the exact same type of house in my neighborhood just sold for $139,000. So I'm wondering, should I sell my rental property when my tenants move out in a few months? I'm planning to put in new carpet and laminate flooring as well as build a deck on the back of the house. And that's it. Oh, and so her house is $90,000. She's paid $98,000. She still owes $91,000 on the mortgage, if you're wondering. So it must have been a recent purchase.
And so she's asking if she, after renovating the property, if she should sell it?
Sounds like she wants to do a couple of upgrades, new carpet, mm-hmm. laminate flooring, and build a deck. And then she wants to try and sell it because she's seen this other house that she thinks is comparable that's sold for nearly like $40,000 more than what she paid for her house.
Well, I'll say this. One of the things I learned about like deep renovations is that you don't get back dollar for dollar. I thought that you did. And I was like, oh, that's not true.
Nah, bro.
So like, yeah. Meaning that let's just say the deck cost you $10,000, just like for math's sake. Right. And you think like, oh, so now that's going to make my house worth $10,000 more. No. It like maybe it'll make your house be worth $5,000 more. That's why people don't get that upgrades. What you put out for the upgrade, very rarely, if at all, do you ever get that exact number back? Like on a good trade, it's 60% back. Like Mandy and I both got like ACs in our house, and AC, like central AC or like a split system, it's pretty good. Like you get like 60 to 65% back, but that's not 100%. So if you spend $30,000 because that's like what you're looking at if you're putting in a split system for ACs in your home, you're looking anywhere, it could be $20,000, $30,000, $60,000, $70,000 or more. You're not going to get $30,000 back. Maybe you'll get 20. So just be mindful that if that house is comparable to your house as it stands and you're wanting to sell, I would not, except for like small things like paint and, you know, things like that. Yeah. but I wouldn't make these big changes because you're not going to get that money back unless you're saying that that the other house has the deck and all these other things, and that's what you're wanting to add. But yeah, I mean, renovating to the, you know, because those sound like pretty big renovations, or moderate renovations, you're not going to see that money back, and you might just get your money back with the house as it stands now. And if your neighborhood is on the way up, meaning like, you know, you're watching month to month and you saw, I don't know how long you've had the house, then you might want to wait. Like, is your tenant paying the mortgage? If so, it's not necessarily costing you anything. And there's a little bit of tax break, not as much as there used to be, but there's a little bit of a tax break. So I don't know. I don't know that I would sell if it's making me money and the neighborhood is on its way up, because 5 years from now, maybe you get, you know, 200 or 225 for that house. You're like, dang, I should have waited.
Yeah, I'm wondering why she's, other than the value of a house being sold, like, I wonder if she needs the money or if she's looking to flip, take the money she earns in this house and flip it into another rental property.
Yeah, maybe. Or like, let's just say this, if you're putting it into the market, say, for example, you do the math of what percentage has the house grown in value in that year. So let's just say it's grown, I don't know, 15% in 1 year. I mean, that's better than the market.
That would be crazy.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, like,
can I move there?
Exactly. But no, but honestly, Mandy, let me tell you, like in Newark, that's exactly what's happening. Because so Newark is, for those of you who like don't live in this area of the country, Newark is super close to New York, which is a really expensive place to live. And people want to live next to New York because that's where the fun's at, but also a lot of jobs. And so what happened is Midtown, which is basically like the hub of New York, is super expensive. And so people couldn't afford Midtown. So they started branching off to places like Harlem, which is uptown. Like, and so Harlem, these brownstones that these older brown folks own, they were buying them up for pennies. And now they're worth like $2 million. Like literally they're buying it for $10,000. And now they're worth $2 million, which is disheartening when you find out so many people lost their homes to in that trade that was unfair. And then nobody used to want to live in Brooklyn. It used to literally be Brooklyn has a section called Bed-Stuy. It would be Bed-Stuy, do or die, and you're likely to die. And now Bed-Stuy gave it another name, is fancy and expensive, and people can't afford Brooklyn. And so as a result of New York spreading out, now they're looking over the water to Newark, who before, think Newark, think Oakland, think I'm trying to think what some other places think Detroit, you know, like, so Newark had that kind of connotation of being economically depressed, but because people can't afford Manhattan, they can't afford Harlem anymore. They can't afford Brooklyn. They've already moved to Jersey City, which is even the closest kind of like city to in New Jersey to New York. Now they've looked at Newark. And so when Superman and I were looking 2 years ago, Mandy, literally a house would be on the market for $200,000 and it would go for $250,000. There was one three-family house that was fairly priced at $280,000, and we lost it to someone who bid $320,000. And I was like, what? I mean, these were houses maybe 2 or 3 years prior that you couldn't even get like, you know, $150,000, $180,000 for that house. So there are sections of the country where because of just thanks. Okay, it's gone. There are sections of the country because of like, just like, it's just so expensive to live here that people are willing to move further and further away from the desired place, which is New York City, that like housing costs are like jumping up, like jumping beans, honestly. So if you live in someplace like that, I would wait. But if you live someplace where it's just creeping up and you're just like, I don't want to deal with tenants anymore, I'm over it, I just want to give me my money. Well, then get your money but invest it someplace else.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll put a link. I actually use this. There's like a website, Remodeling, I think it's, I forget the name of it, Remodel Something, but they put out annually a list of like the ROI, the return on investment of certain home improvement projects. And I think one of the most like lucrative ones you can do is replacing a garage door. Last time I read, it's like random stuff like that.
Wow, that is real.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. Yeah. So I'll post a link in there. And you know, especially if you're selling to people who might want to rent it out themselves, they're not going to want to pay for a lot of upgrades. Like they're going to want the bare minimum. So they can rent it out as well. So, interesting. And congrats on having a rental property. That's cool. Goals.
Yes. So we should take one more?
Sure. Let's see. All right. Thanks for your question, T. Here's another one from the gram. I don't know how to pronounce this. Let's just go with Breezy. So Instagram user Breezy says, hello, I've got $11,500 in credit card debt and I just received $5,000 from a settlement. Should I use it to pay off some credit card debt to get my utilization below 30%? Or should I use a 0% transfer balance transfer credit card to pay them off? Thank you. So $5,000 would knock out a little less than half of that $11,000. So she wouldn't quite get to 30% utilization.
Idea.
Is this the part where you ask her if she has emergency savings?
I
know where you're about to go.
You already know. I was like, hold up, wait a minute, back up. Do you have, yo, man, that's so crazy. I was literally thinking that. Yes, I would say Breezy, do you have emergency savings? Because it sounds like she might not. So I would be hesitant to put all this money toward debt.
Yeah, if you've got 11 grand in credit debt, it could be a sign that you have been turning to credit every once in a while when you run short on cash and it's kind of become your emergency fund. So Tiff's right. I mean, like putting that $5,000 in the bank so you create emergency fund could be one step. And then from there, if your credit's good, you don't mention what your credit score is, but let's say it's above 680, 670. That's usually about what it takes to qualify for the best 0% interest balance transfer cards. Let's say you can qualify for one of those and you can transfer your balances onto that card and pay them off slowly over time. That could be a smart strategy, because then you can slowly pay off that credit card debt and you have money in the bank in case another unexpected, you know, expense pops up.
That's happened. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the wave. My only concern is that I don't know how much of what your limit is for that with the balance where you have that 11,000. So if you are over 30, you say basically you are over 30%, then my concern is that maybe your credit score is going to be reflective of that, because, you know, your amounts owed is 30% of your credit score. So it's a significant part of your credit score is being negatively affected because you have a balance over 30% of that credit card limit. So that would just be my only concern, that would she qualify for a balance transfer card? But I mean, I don't know. You might have some excellent other credit things happening that this is offset by that. So yeah, I would say plan B. You know, you don't have to say, if you don't feel comfortable saving the whole 5,000, fine. But if you don't have emergency savings, then you're going to be right back in debt because you're an adult and things happen unexpectedly to adults. And if you don't have the cash to handle what happens unexpectedly, you're just going to end up swiping your card again anyway.
Yep. And with any 0% interest promotion period, even for a balance transfer, just be aware that it may have a deferred interest clause, which means if you don't pay it off 100% before that 12-month or 18-month period's over, they could just slap you with all the interest all over again. So have a plan. You know, be realistic. Can you actually make enough payments throughout the year to pay it off before the promo period ends? And another option besides balance transfer is if you don't feel confident. One, if you can't get approved for a balance transfer. Or two, if you don't think you'll feel confident that you can pay, you know, that much money over the course of however many months to pay it off in full before the promotion period ends, you could also look at consolidating your credit card debt with a personal loan, especially if you can get a personal loan that has a lower APR than what your credit cards may offer you. And with a personal loan, you have a fixed monthly payment, a fixed term. There's no risk of having deferred interest getting hit with that if you don't pay it off, because they create a plan for you to pay it off in a certain amount of time. So that's another option for you.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that was helpful. Thank you very much for your question, Miss Breezy.
Yes, Breezy.
I just made that up. I'm sorry if I mispronounced your actual name. My bad.
Now it's time for Booze Their Break for all our family. Will you booze? Will you break? Are you gonna boost or break, Mandy? You saw that remix at the end? Because I was like, you know what? I'm gonna switch. You know, I'm gonna do a little something. You know, I can't always do the same.
That's like when you're. That's like when you're in the club and you're showing off, singing the words, and it's the remix, and you like don't know the remix yet. Because I was ready to like break in. I'm like, oh. I don't know the words. I'm gonna do a break this week because it's been driving me a little nuts. So I'm gonna take a break from engaging with the rumor mill at the office. Whether it can be about anything, you know, about someone's personal business or about someone's professional business. But I'm just at a point where I just feel like there's people, certain people in offices that really get off on like gossiping and spreading rumors, or not just even spreading rumors, but just like engaging in rumors or trying to start rumors. And it's just so much loss. It's like wasted energy because it can cause people to stress out about things that don't even, that aren't even going to happen. Or it can cause people to feel bad about things that may not even be true. And I feel like as adults, we should just, as much as you can, avoid the rumor mill. And honestly, as a manager, rumor mills drive me nuts because I feel like they undermine sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like you, as a manager, you don't always want to tell, you can't always tell people exactly what's going on because you don't want to get people. And I purposefully do this. I'll withhold information if I'm worried that there's not enough information and it can just cause more uncertainty, because that will just like rumor mills live on uncertainty. They thrive on like the not having the full information. So I'll like purposefully wait if I know there's like people who gossip on the team, because I don't want to give them any fuel to flame fires of, you know, uncertainty or questioning, you know, what the bigger mission is. So that's my break. I don't know if I'll ever cure office gossip. Probably not, but it kind of just drives me nuts.
There's like this, it's funny. It's like a gospel rendition where it's like, mind your business. Have you seen it? Mind your business. You should
No.
It is hilarious. It's like, mind your business. It's a gospel choir, but singing like, what you gotta mind your business. But it's hilarious. And I think everyone should do so. And it's funny you should say that, because I was watching Joel Osteen last Sunday. It was weird because I like literally went to sit in the bed and like turned on. I'm like, God, are you trying to tell me something? And he came on, and that one of his closing messages was basically, he literally said, mind your business. I was like, oh, Joel is spicy this Sunday. It's very easy to get caught up, especially in the social media world, you know? Like the way we live in social media, sometimes people take that offline, especially as if they have access. Remember I told you that a friend of a friend was like, ooh, Tiffany doesn't post about her husband like she used to. And like, I hope everything's okay. She don't hope everything's okay. Like, you don't even know, but you don't hope everything's okay. That's just nosy. But I didn't even realize I had not posted a Superman as much. I guess the truth is I don't engage in social media like I used to. I used to like live on social when I was really building my business. And now I have a team that largely manages it. So of course they're not posting my husband. We talk about Superman and Enrique all the time here on the podcast. So it's not, you know, but I just thought that was funny that like, you know, and it was funny because I posted for our second anniversary. I posted like, you know, just a quick like, oh, second anniversary, love you, babe. And then someone who listens to Brown Ambition, she wrote like, girl, you ain't have to post this for her. Which I thought was funny. Like she can buy it. I was like, I love our listeners. They're like, mm-mm. So yes, minding your business. It costs nothing. I mean, we all can be a little nosy sometimes, but honestly, it's really to your detriment when you mind someone else's business, because you're taking away energy and time and effort from things that you can use to grow your own self.
Yep. All right. What about you? Boost or break?
I'm going to, honestly, this is just random, but I'm going to break. I don't know what's going on with Facebook. So if anybody's a techie, so I was supposed to go live. So I'm a what do they call it? I'm financial wellness brand ambassador. I think that they call me for Prudential Financial, which I love, because so many financial companies don't get that financial wellness should be the like the goal, not having a certain amount of money as a prudential, is really starting to come around and understand that, so much so they have this whole, push towards financial wellness and how can we help you beyond just retirement and insurance, but like, how can you be okay as a person and how can you use your finances to help support how you want to show up in this world? So I love being this brand ambassador for Prudential. But anyway, I was supposed to go live because they sponsored like a live class. I was like, okay, it was like five things to do to prepare before the new year, financially prepare for the new year. So I was excited, supposed to go live, click the live button on my computer. It says camera cannot connect. And I was like, what? So I'm trying everything. So now I'm sweating bullets, you know, and I tried everything and it wouldn't work. And I mean, I got on the phone with every tech person I could find. We ran through every single scenario and it still doesn't work. So my brown break is like freaking technology. I don't know. And so I'm supposed to go live tonight. I'm going to just do it from my phone, which is not ideal because who wants to hold their phone as their, because I'm like a handsy person. I don't know if you guys can tell. I know you can't hear me, but even now I'm using my hands. I'm like, you know, using it to talk. But yeah, I just, sometimes it's like technology, man. It's so convenient. It's inconvenient. But if anyone is super techie, send me an Instagram message.
It'll be too late. They're listening to this tomorrow.
Here's the thing, like in general, because I go live like on Facebook, and you know, all the time, but I would say at least every month or so. And so I don't know randomly why I can't. So if someone's like, oh my gosh, I remember when that happened to me, it's because of this. I'm using Google Chrome. I restarted my computer. I cleared the history and the cookies and the cache and all that kind of stuff. Yes, I have allowed, there's this button where you can allow Facebook to have access to your computer and your microphone. I did all of that. I did it all. And it's still not working. So it's just frustrating. So that's my brown break because it's stopping me from being great. So yeah, if anybody, you know, cause I'm going to likely go live next week. So if anybody has any suggestions about what we can do, to get my computer camera, because like my camera, like if I do FaceTime or anything, it works on every other capacity, just not with Facebook. And I do not know why. Yeah. So just, you know, I'd love your feedback, because it's breaking my spirit. It is.
Help Tiffany out. I'll forward your responses. brandambitionpodcast@gmail.com.
Well, that was a good show. Those questions were really great. I love when you guys ask, like, you know, well, you guys always ask good questions.
Keep them coming.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a PS to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the PS first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.